Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Happy Saturday, and thank you so much for joining me today. You know, here's a great question. Which is better? Which is the better mortgage option, an FHA or a conventional mortgage? You know, it's a question that people don't necessarily ask me, but when you're talking to somebody, I really have to go over it and make sure that I'm not everybody, of course, because there's some that's very obvious, but you know, sometimes it's better to do an FHA, sometimes it's better to do a conventional. So we're going to talk about that. But before we start on that question, I want to talk about the best ways to compare your refinance options. And this is one of those things where there's so many people refinancing. I know I've talked about it a little bit on the radio before. I just want to talk about it some more because I really do feel this is one of those things that's important. People need to be educated on it. So when they're calling and they're talking to people, hopefully you'll call me, but if you don't, I still want you to understand what you should know so that you can make the proper decision. You don't want to refinance if it doesn't make sense, and you don't want to not refinance if it does make sense, if you could save a lot of money. You know, sometimes they may lay it out and it looks like you're saving a lot of money. In reality, you're not. And other times, you know, it just may not, you may think it's going to make sense and it doesn't make sense. And for me, that's a really important decision, and I want people to make the correct decision. Of course, I want you to refinance with me or do your purchase mortgage with me, but to me, it's important to me for myself is that I give you proper education and information so that when you make your decision, and it's your decision, not mine, but when you make that decision, you make the right decision for you. It's a comfortable decision, and it's the best decision you could have made. And the reality is if somebody tells you this is what you should do or this is what you should do, they don't know your entire situation. They don't really understand the nuances of everything that you have going on. So you can listen to them, but you got to kind of take what they say with a grain of salt. Now, when you're talking to a good, solid mortgage person who asks a bunch of questions, gets your information, gets to know you a little bit, understands what you're after, and then can give you the proper information so you can make that decision, I think, to me, that's the way to do it. And some people, that's not the way they want to go. That's fine. That's the way I do it, and it's the way I feel most comfortable with it. So what I'm going to do is take a home where we had, I just ran a sample for what I call my mortgage savings report. And this is a customer who it isn't even really a huge savings, but it's most people when they first hear it might say just off the base numbers that hey, that probably isn't going to be enough savings. But when you actually with my report and you see how it actually affects you, then you might look at it depending on how long you're going to be in the home, you know, what your objective is, those type of things. Then it might make sense, might not, but it might. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to run it this way is because this is one that is borderline. It depends on your situation, on that situation that somebody's after. But I think it shows the point so that you would understand, you know, as you talk to people, you know, what is it? What should you be looking at? You know, how much savings should you be looking at? You know, what type of interest rate drop should you be looking at? And all that definitely depends. If you're looking at a big loan amount, a huge loan amount, an eighth in interest rate could make enough difference that it makes sense. But it also, you're looking at a small interest, you look at a smaller loan amount with a very short period of time remaining. So let's say 10 years or less and under $100,000 loan amount. It is very difficult to actually make that make sense in not only savings, but in the time it takes to do the mortgage and the hassle it takes to do a mortgage. Because we all know there's some hassle to doing a mortgage. And but it does, you know, you have to look at that. And if it's that low, you need to know, because I can show you where it makes sense if I want to manipulate the numbers a little bit. But I just can't do that. I need you to see it so you make the decision that's right for you based on the accurate numbers. So in this case, I'm going to use a property value in the upper 200s. I'm going to use a loan amount in the just under 200,000, and I'm going to use an increase on this. I'm going to use a decrease in interest rate of 0.5%. So when you're looking, you know, none of that is, that's not a huge loan amount. It's about an average loan amount in our area. It's not a huge drop in interest rate, but you're going to see what that effect is. I'm also doing it on a 30-year. The shorter the term, the more beneficial it might show up to be. So I did a 30-year fixed rate so that I was comparing, and the current mortgage I'm comparing it to is a 30-year that was done 4 months ago. So a very quick turn. So just to show, you don't have to wait that long. Usually 6 months, but not always, just depends. But we have to look at it. But this was 4 months ago. And so with that decrease in rate, with that going to a 30-year fixed, you know, the monthly savings is about $60 a month. Let's say $55 a month. Let's shorten it. Let's say $55 a month. So you're looking at about $55 a month in monthly savings. So if somebody wants to save on the monthly term, it's $55. Now, $55 doesn't sound like a tremendous amount of money, but if you take $55 and you take that over, let's say 60 months, 5 years, $5,500 over 5 years is $3,300. So if we can do that, keep the closing costs, you know, either put a lender credit in where we pay the closing costs or keep the cost down. Let's say we did a lender credit, you save $3,300 over the first 5 years, and that's without any money into it, because if we cover all the closing costs in our lender credit. So that's a pretty significant savings. And that's just the payment savings. The actual savings over 60 months is over $4,000, because the interest rate came down. And when the interest rate comes down, you're paying, and you pay more principal, your interest comes down and you save more money. So in that case, it's actually more money. So as somebody's looking at this, the savings can be pretty significant. And so you want to look at it over a short period of time. If you're thinking, okay, I'm going to be in this house, you know, 2 years, and we want to look at the savings over 2 years. And the things, if you're short term like that, you need to look at what the financial savings is going to be. Does that make sense? And then, is it worth your time and effort? Because, you know, if the savings is big enough, then it might be worth your time and effort. But let's say you're saving, you know, $400, and you know for a fact you're going to move in 2 years, and you know the pain and suffering you go through redoing a mortgage as you might decide, well, I think I'm gonna not do this. On the other hand, if you're looking at $10,000 in savings, you know that can make up for it very quickly. And I think the other thing on savings that you really have to take into account, what you have to look at and appreciate, is your loan amount compared to the savings. You know, I sometimes will get somebody who has a very low loan amount. Let's say they have an $80,000 loan amount, and their hope is that they're going to save $200 a month on their payment. And other than adding, you know, getting term back, it's a very unlikely by interest rate you're going to save $200 a month. Okay, it's just not a big enough loan amount. Not that $80,000 isn't a lot of money, but in a mortgage, it's not. And over 30 years, it's not. And it just doesn't give you that kind of savings. So something like that, you know, if there's no, again, closing costs covered or very low, or, you know, however we work it out, you save $30, $40 a month. That's a pretty significant savings in that loan amount. Even I've seen that even make sense at $25. So it does matter, and you have to look at the how long you're going to be there. Again, if you say, and I understand, nobody knows exactly how long they're going to be in a house. You don't know. I don't know. None of us know. We don't know how long we're going to be in the house. But if you think, as you look at things, you believe that you're going to be in there, you know, 7 years, we need to look at it over 7 years or something close to 7 years. We need to keep that time so it's accurate to when you're, you know, how long you're going to be in that house. And to me, that's extremely important. The other on this is the savings over time. So that we said over 60 months, that was over $4,000 savings. And over 15 years, it's over $12,000 savings. And it can even be more if you take that same money and you make the same payments you're making today. And then you're using it to pay it off that much quicker. And you're going to have even more savings than that number. So what we want to look at, those are the kind of things we want to look at. And what I do is I get your information. I'm going to find out, you know, how much you owe, when you financed your home, you know, what's your current interest rate, what your current payment is, what do you escrow, how much are your escrows, how much are your taxes, how much are your insurance, do you have mortgage insurance? Another good reason to refinance, if you have mortgage insurance today and we can get you out of mortgage insurance, that can be, you can keep the same rate if your mortgage insurance is high enough. If you get out of mortgage insurance, that can make sense. But then we also have to look at how soon could you get out of mortgage insurance if you didn't refinance. So you got to look at those numbers to make sure it makes sense to refinance. So all of that has to be looked at, and we would look at that. After the break, we're going to discuss which is a better mortgage option, an FHA or a conventional mortgage.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thank you so much for joining me today. I truly appreciate it. You know, we're going to talk about the, you know, which is better, an FHA or a conventional mortgage. And I will tell you right up front, there is no 100% right answer. It just doesn't exist. And the reason is because it depends on your situation. So we're going to need to talk about, you know, in which situation, which option is going to work best. Before we do that,
now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
I was talking to a friend of mine, Dirk, the other day, and he was curious. He actually was asking, he had a daughter he was asking about. He wanted to know, you know, how credit score would affect them getting a mortgage. And, you know, it's a great question, and it's changed through, you know, once COVID hit, the credit score that we need actually came up. So it does depend on which type of mortgage you're doing. So let's first talk about a conventional mortgage. On a conventional mortgage, the baseline, you have to have a 640 credit score. That's the minimum credit score needed to qualify for a conventional mortgage. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't some more issues there on credit score. So we need to talk about the credit score a little deeper, in that your credit score will also affect, on a conventional, your mortgage insurance, your private mortgage insurance, PMI. And the lower your credit score, the higher your mortgage insurance is going to be, and the higher your interest rate is going to be. So the credit score matters greatly. But just to get qualified, just to be able to do it, you have to have a 640. It's best to have something in the, you know, 700 or above. 760 or above tends to get the best of everything, but not always 740, sometimes 720. All those are very good credit scores, and all those qualify, and all those are still going to get very good rates, and the mortgage insurance is going to be, you know, reasonable compared to other options. Then when you look at an FHA, on an FHA, we can go down to a 620 credit score. So we can go a little lower. The and the benefit of an FHA when you have a lower credit score is that the FHA credit score is or mortgage insurance is based off of just the loan to value. So if you have you can put 3.5% down normally, and at 3.5% down, no matter what your credit score is, the monthly mortgage insurance is figured at 0.85. Now there is also an upfront mortgage insurance, and that's added into the loan amount upfront. But the monthly is 0.85. It goes down at 80% to 0.8, or at 95% to 0.8. So that's where, okay, so if you have a 641 credit score, you qualify for both FHA and conventional mortgage. The mortgage insurance on the conventional mortgage is most likely going to be 2.5 to 3 times higher than the FHA mortgage insurance. So the FHA is going to be a better option, along with the fact that the FHA rates right now are better than the conventional rates. So if you take into account the lower rates and the better mortgage insurance, even with the FHA's upfront mortgage insurance premium that they collect, it's still going to be your best option for the most part. So again, it's one of those things we have to talk about, understand the situation. Additionally, the other piece of this, you know, I told Dirk, the other piece is we can look at the credit. We get the credit. We look at the credit. I have a system I can run it through. We can play a what's called what if simulator and see what the, you know, what I can do, you know, what you can do to increase your credit score. Sometimes it's very simple. I've had several of them, and in a very short period of time, we've raised their credit scores, or they've raised their credit scores by doing what the simulator said, anywhere from 20 to 60 to 80 points. So it can be, you know, it can be one of those things. We just have to look at it, get the credit, and then see what we can do. And sometimes it's not that big a deal, especially if you're going to FHA, you can still go ahead and do it. We still can work on getting your credit up so that after the fact you can do that. And sometimes we'll just, you know, get that done and then see, you know, down the road once the credit's up, once you've gotten the house, you have some equity, those kind of things, and we can see, look at the possibility of refinancing it and getting better terms if the mortgage rates and things happen to be there. So definitely the interest rate and the mortgage insurance and all that is going to be affected by credit score. And what that credit score is, a lot of times will determine which is your better option, whether it's an FHA or a conventional. But I want to get back to that's kind of part of what is better, which is better, an FHA or conventional mortgage. But I want to get back to that and talk a little bit more about that. And actually, what I just said is actually 100% accurate. The FHA is going to be better if you have the situation where you have lower credit scores. You know, here, I'll just kind of go through. FHA requires 3.5% down. Conventional on a first-time home buyer require, you can go as low as 3% down. Sometimes it's better to go 5%, but a first-time home buyer tends to get just about the same thing as somebody with 5% down with a 3% down. They give you, as a first-time home buyer, they do give you a little better on the mortgage insurance. So, you know, that can be a big boon. It's a little less down than the FHA. However, conventional does require better credit scores, higher credit scores. They do require the mortgage insurance, and that mortgage insurance is determined based off of your loan to value and your credit score and your loan amount, as opposed to FHA, which it's really just your loan amount and your loan to value. Then the credit score, as long as you qualify, doesn't change what that mortgage insurance is. So we can, as we look at that, you're looking at and you're going, okay, well, FHA is better, basically is better if you have lower credit scores and may have other issues. FHA is just a more forgiving mortgage than a conventional. The conventional for many people will be the least expensive option, especially if you have high credit scores. You have the money down, then we want to look at that. Now, let's throw in VA there. If you're a veteran and you have the ability to go VA, VA can be a great option also. VA is if you're looking to purchase and you qualify for VA, you're a veteran, you qualify for VA, you can go with no money down on a VA mortgage. So it's the best no money down program out there, in my opinion. The other part of the VA is that they do have a upfront a premium called the funding fee that they collect. It's added into the loan amount. So your loan amount's a little higher than what it would be, but you didn't put any mortgage. You don't have mortgage insurance. You didn't have any upfront mortgage insurance premium, and you don't pay monthly mortgage insurance. The rates are very good, and they're pretty forgiving. It's a little harder to pin down exactly what interest rate or what credit score you need on a VA. So it's just one of those things we'd have to talk about and look at and see what we can get qualified. They're a little more flexible in some cases and a little less in others. But we do want to look at that, you know, look at the credit score. Generally, it's going to be the same as your conventional. They're really going to want that 640 or above. But again, there's more nuances to a VA that we would just need to talk about it. So of those, you just have to decide based on your situation, which one's going to be your best option. And then we go from there. If you have any questions on that, you want to talk about, you know, the differences, or you want to look at your options and see what would be better for you, just give me a call or send me an email. Or actually, the best way is just go online where you can give me a call or an email. Just go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And you can put your information in my contact in the contact information there, or you'll have my phone number in my email address. And you can just send me an email, give me a call, or fill in the contact information. I'll get back with you and we can talk about it. So that's an important thing to do and to look at. You know, along with that, as you're looking at refinancing or the possibility of refinancing, which a lot of people are looking at, we talked about it in a few shows back about homeowner equity. And I wanted to talk about homeowner equity and the insights, you know, some of the insights that we can see in this equity, which is part of why we're not seeing a real housing bubble. You know, the national homeowner equity for third quarter 2020, year over year, it went up by 10.8%. 10.8%. It is now up over $1 trillion. That is a tremendous amount of money that we have in the equity of our homes. And it's one of the reasons that we don't think, and we feel pretty confident, that we're not going to see a housing bubble, because there's so much equity, the equity that we have out there. Now, the negative equity decreased by 6.9%. So there's less and less homes with negative equity. It's becoming a very, very small number. In fact, from the second quarter 2020, it was 1.6 million homes had negative equity. It decreased by 6.9% for the third quarter. And on a year-over-year basis, negative equity fell by 18.3%, and that fell from 2 million homes. So we're looking at, you know, a much, much, much less negative equity. The national negative equity, as we talk about that, the national negative equity dropped year-over-year from 2019 to 2020. It dropped by 18.3%. So the negative equity dropped quite a bit. And, you know, let's talk about the impact of COVID-19. Despite the economic impact of the pandemic, home prices soared throughout the summer and fall. Appreciation reached its highest level since 2014 in the third quarter of 2020, as prospective home buyers continued to compete for the low supply. You know, we have a very low supply in the market, and with that's pushing home equity to a record level. Equity gains are likely to persist over the next several months, probably over the next year, as strong home purchase demand is expected to remain high and continues pushing upward. We are looking at very, very high home equity, and it's continuing to increase. So it's one of those things where this is a very good thing. It gives you one of the things home equity gives you. It gives you a lot of things, but one of them is, let's say you have other debt. Let's say you have some credit card debt, maybe some car debt, maybe student loan debt, whatever debt it happens to be, and you have equity in your house. If you have enough equity in your house, we can refinance the house at the super low rates that we have. You can put in, we can take that debt that you have, and we can bring it over, and we can put it into the new loan, and we can make a substantial difference in your worry. For a lot of people, I'm going to go to an example of this. In this case, I'm using a debt consolidation. So in this one, I'm including $48,700 in additional debt. into the mortgage. This person has, well, it's fictitious, but they had in my mind they had lots of equity. So but I wanted to put quite a bit in there, and those payments some of it was revolving, some of it was installment. Installment was a car loan. The revolving is credit cards. The payments on those were $1,100 over $1,100 is what they were paying in payments every month on those debts, with their house and everything, with their and with the debt, with taxes and insurance. Their total payment was about $2,500. We were able to take a lower interest rate. Actually quite a bit lower. We were able to put a new loan together, and we were able to put all of her debt into it. I make up who these people are in my mind, so I talk about them like they're real people, and I apologize for that, but that's what I do. So that we were able to put her debt in there and take the total payment. So the payment on the house went up a little bit, but the total payment with all the debt included, it went to just over $1,200. This was a savings of over $1,300. When you take that $1,300 in that savings, just to give you an idea, you just take the normal, just make the payment, you pay it off, you're saving, you can save, what was that, $1,300, over $1,300 in payments, you save monthly payment. Or if you took that $1,300 and you put it towards the mortgage. So now we refinance on a 30-year fixed. The current mortgage was just over 17 years, and we refinance on a 30-year fixed, but we take that additional money and we pay it on the mortgage. So I simulate that. And by doing that, we actually shorten the mortgage term. You would pay it off. You'd pay that 30-year mortgage off in 9 years and 3 months. That would save over 8 years on term by doing that. So you can see how this actually, people say, oh, you don't want to put your car in there. You don't want to put your credit cards in there. Well, that depends. Rates are so low. You save 101 payments. You shave 8 years, over 8 years off the term of the loan. The amortization gain was over $75,000, the new loan over the old loan, over 5 years, over 10 years, 137, and over 9 years and 8 months, it was 144, over 144,000. The net increase in wealth was $94,100. So this is a significant change in somebody's life. Not only do you lower the payment so they aren't stressed, but if they want to take that money and make the payment, again, they're not forced to, so they have some flexibility, but if they want to take that money and they want to pay it off, they want to pay their home off, they can pay it off much, much quicker, get themselves entirely out of debt, and be in a much better situation than what they started with before we did the debt consolidation. So, you know, these are things that can make a tremendous amount of difference in somebody's lives. It really can change somebody's life. So I do highly recommend that if you're in that situation, you know, get your information together, then go online to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. You can contact me from there. I'll get the information that you have. We'll talk about it, and then I'll put together the information in a way that you can actually see how it's going to affect you and how it's going to really be, either what kind of benefit it might be. And if it's not a benefit, don't worry about it. Don't do, you know, we wouldn't move forward then. But if it is a big benefit, at least you can see that. You can see how much it's going to be, and that helps you make that correct decision on whether you should refinance or not and save that money. Well, we're at the end of the show, and I thank you so much for joining me today. And please join me next Saturday at 3:30 as we discuss divorce and your mortgage. So if you know anybody who is in the midst of a divorce, thinking about a divorce, or been divorced, you might want to have them listen to the show. Thanks for joining. Have a great day.